Father, thank you again for the day that we've had so far, and pray that our hearts would be challenged and they would continue to be challenged as we hear from your word today. Thank you for Marv and for just the work that you've called him to. We pray your continued blessing on Missio Nexus and that organization, and Lord, just the work that is going on around the world. Would you continue to make your name known? Help us to be faithful to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor James. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you more in a Sunday school type setting where we're teaching more than preaching. So I'm going to stand down here so I can kind of watch my screen a little bit easier than just turning around all the time. And I'd like to introduce to you today something of a tool that is to help us understand the whole comprehensive way of making disciples of the nations. Now, this doesn't need to be complicated, and it's really, I designed it so that it's not complicated, and so I'm hoping that you can follow this, and if you like this a whole lot where you want all these notes, give me your email, and I will email all this to you. Then you won't have to be feverishly writing and writing and writing if you prefer it that way, but either way, I just hope that this is something that will help us to understand what does it really mean to, quote, make disciples of the nations? What was the big picture that Jesus was talking about in a way that we can grasp it in all its components? And that's why we're going to take a look at this matrix, because there's going to be four of these spheres of needs that we need to look at that needs our attention if we're to be comprehensive in the way that we make disciples of the nations. Can everybody hear me all right? You're good there at the back. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, you know, many people today are confused about all these abbreviations and terms that we use in the world of missions to talk about the world that we are reaching. Like the UPG, what does that stand for? Very good. Unreached People Group. Now, probably most of you know that, but we have multiple words and terminologies. Take a look at all these words. And we could add a few more, like UUPG. And some people go MUUPG, whatever that is, right? UUPG means unengaged, unreached people groups. Then you could have Muslim M, unengaged, unreached people groups, and so forth. And so, you know, many times we almost like glass over when we think of all these terms that are being used, and which one's priority? One Sunday, a missionary speaker comes and tells you that what he's doing is like the most important thing you can do in the world of missions. Then about a month later, you get another missionary with another emphasis, and hey, he's saying that his is actually the essence of what we're to be doing. And so, confusingly, it's obviously something that we need to sort out in a way that I hope that this matrix helps us to do. And so we can take a look at the trees in the forest and pick them out one by one and talk about them like those terms that are there. Or we can get up in a helicopter, or I guess in today's world, a drone, and look over the forest and see what is our task from the big picture standpoint. And I'm hoping that that's what this presentation does. It helps all of you understand exactly what we're to be doing as we do a comprehensive strategic engagement based on Matthew 28, make disciples of the nations. And when he uses those words, go and baptize and teach, I think there's more to it than just simply us doing those things, but there's ways that they actually are applied to certain spheres of needs that we see in the engagement of this. Now, I just want to back up and say this. Our overarching goal is world evangelization. We want to evangelize the world. In other words, make it possible for people to hear the gospel, to engage the world in that way. But besides that, we see that Jesus tells us that we are to go and make disciples of the nations, which happens to be exactly the theme that you have chosen for this conference this year. And so I like us to take a look at the way that this can be done in a way that is visual. And so making disciples of the nations, we need to consider what are unengaged peoples, What are unreached peoples? What are undiscipled peoples? And what are unmobilized peoples? And then how do we then apply this to this church? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow along with me, even though we're going to get into a little bit of detail. But follow along, because towards the end, I'd like to make specific application to your church as to how you're doing in this very task of making disciples of the nation. So the first quadrant that we see here, as we look at these four, is that one on the bottom left corner, the unengaged. And by the way, before I get into those, there's a what I call a task engagement bar. How we are to engage these different spectrums of the matrix so that we know that we are actually doing the work that God would have us to do. Now, as we progress through this presentation, you're probably going to ask, well, where are things like Bible translation and mission aviation? And you go right on down here, internet ministries, church planting, and so forth, because that's what my missionaries are doing. Our people are out there doing these specific things, and I'm not going to really talk about them or refer to them until the very end. And so we're just going to park this question for now as to where these happen to be, because these are more tactical ways that our people are engaging the strategic plan of making disciples of the nation. So we're going to park that and come back to that question as to where those are, and just kind of instead go on with what it means as to reaching the unengaged peoples. So this is the first of the quadrants of our matrix that is here, unengaged. Well, first of all, we need to define clearly what do we mean by people that are unengaged. And here's a definition that I hope that we can see, that there's a people group who is unengaged when there is no one church, mission agency, person, group, persons that have yet taken the initiative to tell an unreached people group about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so unengaged means that right now there's no engagement at all. I mean, that makes pretty much sense, doesn't it? That there's these groups of people, and there's plenty of these groups of people, by the way, that are unengaged. I'm going to tell you a few names here in just a little bit. But the idea that we have to engage these people, obviously, is something that needs to be a penetration ministry on our part. We need to actually then go and penetrate. And this is the going of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. Penetrating, going and penetrating, especially groups that have not yet heard the gospel message, so that they become engaged. So the unengaged can become engaged peoples. Now, there are this engagement bar that we're looking about and engaging can compile a lot of different ministries. And if you look at these different activities that are there, any church could do these things, such as being aware and having a burden for these unengaged peoples, having intercessory prayer and research and selection of a focus area, adopting the group, strategizing, building a team ready to go, partnering with others that might have a burden for that same people group, entering into that focus area, and then getting a team that's resident in that area so that unengaged becomes engaged. And that's what we're looking for, to actually have people who are message bearers of the gospel in that people group, if at all is possible. But you know what? That shows the ideal. And quite frankly, there's undesired outcomes that happens when we try to adopt a people group. I mean, maybe your church in the past did that very thing, adopted an unengaged people group. And undesirable outcomes of doing that very thing is to have an unsuccessful deployment take place, like you have people ready to go, but for whatever reason, they never are able to show up. Or maybe once they get there, they're absolutely rejected outright and to the point that there's no receiving of them and they have to leave. Maybe there's interference, maybe there's persecution or deportation, and maybe just a permanent departure and a quitting of this work of being able to get into that people group. Now, the reason that I put those up there is because it's been determined that about 70% of adopting of un, reached people, unengaged people groups end up in failure. 70% just never happens. All these different things that take place here just sidetrack the whole activity, and the people do not get engaged. However, what we're really looking for to take place are more of these things: successful deployment, a setup in the focus area, engagement with the people to be welcomed, and also given a hearing for the gospel so that hopefully we're able to retain our presence there and to be able to adopt this people group and to be able successfully to penetrate them. And so knowing that there's a high failure rate in this regard should spur us on to try to do it well, to engage a people group or a people area where the gospel is not going. Once it's realized in an successful way, we find that we can move forward to the next stage of making disciples of the nations, and that is to move on to the next quadrant, which, if you remember seeing earlier, was the unreached peoples. And now we got an engaged people, but just because we're there doesn't mean that they're reached. We need to help these people now to become what we considered completely reached with the gospel. Now, like I said, the presence of ourselves there isn't enough. We need to actually then have activities take place that engage this group of people that helps bring them from this. You can see the definition that is here. An unreached people group is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believers, of believing Christians, with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize their own people group. So maybe we have one or two that begin to believe. Maybe we have a handful, a cluster, to start believe. Maybe even we get a church that's established within this people group. But if we're finding that there's not even a momentum within that small fledgling group of believers, then they're considered still an unreached people group. Let me give you an example so that we kind of put an example to this. Over in Sumatra, the island of Sumatra in Indonesia, in the central part of that island, there's a group of people called the Rajan people. Now, I had formerly, when I lived in Illinois, which was a year ago, in a church that adopted the Rajan people for engagement. And these people were completely Muslim people, about 500,000 of these people, which were Muslim people that had no church amongst them, not a single one. And so we put a missionary couple in there. In other words, we were able to successfully deploy and get somebody into that people group. However, in the time that they've been there, the last several years, there's not even been a community of believers, not even a church started, not even even a study group that is there yet, because the people are so resistant and just many different situations that have taken place that have been detrimental to the establishment of the work there, that we see that these people are still remain very much under this definition of being unreached. Yeah, there's a witness in the area, but there is no way that these people have become believers. And so what we see is that our task here, according to Matthew chapter 28, is that we are to do consolidation. In other words, consolidate these believers that are there, the small ones, having them baptized so that they're able then to be a witness in their community and hopefully then start a church, because a church is what consolidates believers, new believers, so that they can grow together in having maturity. And we're hoping that once you have that, these people become what we call reached peoples. Reached peoples. So these consolidating activities are many. If you take a look at these are different from the previous list that we saw there. Intercessory prayer for these people, external contextualization, proclamation and outreach and persuasion, compassion ministries, baptizing new believers, incorporating them into the body of Christ, church birthing, teaching, and leadership development. All these things work together so that these people become what we want to have call a church that's now established with a strong witness within the community. However, we find that the undesired outcomes are the things that happen most frequently where you have resistant hearts and opposition and superficial belief and a falling away, no church is formed, no indigenous communities, and no churches being planted. Unfortunately, that is a pretty normal response to this, at least for the first time that a group becomes penetrated and we try to have them get consolidated into believing churches. But what we really desire, and this is what our missionaries are striving for, are more to see these types of activities take place. Where you have the receptive hearts and the repentance and belief and the marks of salvation, and they're gathered together and they desire to mature and so forth. And so obviously this is what makes up a group of believers that are getting established and well underway. And so we need missionaries with other tasks and skills from the unengaged quadrant to now be able to participate in these activities so that we're able to establish a good Christian community within this group. And so what we see is that unreached can become reached if we are able to really engage in these consolidating ministries. And it takes a long time. I want to emphasize here that these things are not automatic. There is resistance all along the way from us able to successfully get an unreached people group to a reached people group. Or even this first stage ahead of that, an unengaged to engaged and then unreached to reached. We're talking about, you know, depending on the area, maybe years, if not decades of time for the gospel to finally be able to penetrate into these areas and these people actually become believers. And I say that because we need to know that today, in today's world, there is what we call the low-hanging fruit that have already been reached. The more easier places have been able to been successfully engaged to the point that we find that they are considered rich peoples. But we're finding that, and I'm going to actually talk more about this tonight, that there's about 17,000 actual people groups in the world today. 17,000. And of those, only 9,000 are considered rich. So we still have another, 8,000 that still need to move from the stage of being unreached to reached. 8,000 people groups, about 40% of the world population would fall within this area. So we're talking about a lot of areas and a lot of people groups scattered all over the world that would fall within this category of the unreached to the point of being reached. But say we're successful. Say that our missionaries that we send who are engaging in these activities and are able to now help a whole community, whether it be, you know, a community or even a group within a country, to come to the point of being reached, what needs to be done next? Is the task now completely done? And the question is, no, it's not done yet, because now we need to help people who are considered undiscipled to become discipled. And so undiscipled can be defined in two different ways. The first way is this. Those who claim to be followers of Jesus who may have initially responded positively to the and expressed belief in the gospel, but subsequently they have not seriously committed themselves to a lifelong process of spiritual maturation and sanctification. Now, you probably know a lot of people that are that way, that call themselves believers, and yet they don't seem to be growing in the Lord. They don't seem to become real disciples of Jesus Christ. Or even those, another way is that we can call people who are Christians by tradition, because they were born in a Christian home, in some sort of a Christian home, whether it be a major denominational religion that you would know around us that we consider Christian or not. We find that these people are the ones that we need to disciple as well. And so much of the work that we need to do today in the world of missions is actually in this quadrant. For instance, let me tell you this. Today, there's about 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. And most of those Muslims, we would put in the previous quadrant of being of being unreached, unreached area. But today in the world, just in the greater Christian community that we talk about being undiscipled, if you were to, for instance, think of most of those that consider themselves maybe Catholic or others that go to church simply out of tradition, we find that there's 1.6 billion people of them as well. And so we're talking about a vast number of people. That's why Latin America, when we look at Latin America and we say that it's still a mission area, it's because basically of this definition that we see here, that there's a lot of people that have the brand of Christian on their lives, but they're not necessarily Christian in their experience. They're not disciples of Jesus Christ in their decision, in their experience. Therefore, we're finding that what we need to do is help these people become transformed. This is the transformation ministry of the Great Commission. And this is the other word that Jesus said. You know, he said go, which is to penetrate. That's the first one. Then he said baptize, which is the consolidation of the unreached. But now we see the word teaching, to teach them things so that they can be transformed. Teaching them everything that I have commanded you so that there is transformation taking place in their lives. And so what I like to see is a changing over taking place in the lives of these individuals so that they move from being discipled, undiscipled, to discipled. Well, what are the activities that we engage in as we engage them with this engagement bar? Again, you can see the words here that are there. Of course, prayer and nurturing and mentoring and coaching and training and discipleship and biblical literacy and those kinds of things are the very things that need to take place so that these people that in some way have been exposed to the gospel and in some way they or at least to Christianity and have embraced and name at least nominally Christianity will indeed then become people that will become believers that truly transform their lives. And so undesired outcomes that we see in this area is that we have uncommitted Christians and nominalism, apostasy and falling away and heresy and those kinds of things, even syncretism takes place where they mix Christian beliefs with their local beliefs and have some kind of some form of a Christianity that isn't truly biblical in its nature and makeup. So we see that that's what normally takes place, but and they become cultural Christians and dysfunctional in their way that they do church as well. However, what we want to see take place are these very things that I think probably describe what this church is about. All these activities of having anything from spiritual maturation on down the list down to orthodoxy and what you believe, which is right beliefs, and also orthopraxis, which is the right practices, that people are growing and maturing in the Lord. And this, too, is part of the Great Commission that we are taking, that we are to be doing in the making disciples of the nations. And many times this gets forgotten as a part of missions. And yet it's a very, very real part. And I applaud all the efforts that we have in missions to reach the unreached and to engage the unengaged and so forth. But we need to understand that we also need to help those that are not transformed to become transformed, and that we see the undiscipled to become discipled. And so the goal is to have the undiscipled become discipled, the changing over aspect of the Great Commission. But now there's one more. There's one more aspect. And if we again look at what Jesus is telling us to do. By the way, let me just read this before we go on to that about the changing over that needs to take place. Because I have a quote here that I would like us to hear. The lack of genuine change of lives has become the greatest omission of the Great Commission the world over. All too often, proselytes are made instead of disciples. When this happens, churches get filled with bodies that exhibit little evidence of changed beliefs and behaviors, And this results in spiritually apathetic adherents who quickly deteriorate into dysfunctional gatherings or nominal Christianity. They easily become victims of abbreviant doctrine, heresy, and deviant cults. And although they wear the label Christian, many are not Christ followers at all. They are superficial followers of the way in need of genuine conversion. The sad state has become the bane of the church the world over. Superficial conversions and inflated statistics only promote non-authentic outcomes. And so what we see is that our task, and you're going to see in just a moment, the amount of effort your church puts into this area here, that that it's a legitimate area that needs attention in making disciples of the nations as well. But let's move on to the last one. The last one is the unmobilized, what we call the unmobilized Christians. And what do we mean by that? Well, unmobilized is that state in visionless churches where people and resources are not readied for nor committed to global outreach so that others may become engaged and reached and discipled. It is a condition where a spirit of self-absorption rather than sacrifice prevails. The task of mobilization can only be done by discipled believers who have a burden for world evangelization. Those who have become matured enough in their faith and in Christ, who want to share that same faith with others and are willing to ready themselves and propagate the faith. And so we find that there's many, many churches that are still not mobilized for missions. Now, I would not in any way put RCC in that category, because what I see about you all having a mission budget and having faith promise and having these missions conferences and so forth, obviously you are mobilizing yourselves continuously for the task of making disciples of the mission of the world. And that's very commendable. And I think that we need to recognize that it's something that just needs to be an ongoing thing. And that's why you have conferences year after year, so that your mobilized church continues to be mobilized. But so many churches are not like that. And what we see is, again, that the unmobilized need, the goal is to be mobilized. And the way that we do that is through the activities of mobilization. And those activities of mobilization string all the way from having a vision for the world and world needs awareness and Great Commission familiarity, and on down the list here, you see giving of finances and technical and material assistance and moral encouragement and vision and passion for the lost, and right down to the bottom where there's a commissioning and sending forth of missionaries out of the congregation as well. That's the activities. And you might be sitting there and say, well, yeah, Marv, that's exactly what our church is like. And, you know, if that's the case, that's tremendous, because not a lot of churches have that as their vision and are that active in what they're doing. Many times, and also for the sent ones, the ones that you send from this congregation, when you think about what they are to be doing, they are to have a sense of a call and a surrender of self, and they select their area that they want to go to, and then they partner with others to get them there and have specialized training and development and then commissioning and the going. That's exactly what we are to do if we're to make disciples of the nations. Well, you know, the undesired outcomes is apathy, and then also just no burden for the loss, no mobilization of resources, and no global outreach taking place. And actually, also then the hoarding of the gospel and no making disciples of the nations. It's an indictment on the church in North America that so many people, so many churches actually are in that category. And we just need to help them to pull out of that, obviously, by having them have an awareness of what it is to make disciples of the nations. But here's what we like to see done. And I'm just going to run these through really quickly, where you see the activities of making disciples of the nations are the things that pretty much I think you can say, well, yeah, we do these very things. We have a passion and we have enthusiasm and we're sending workers. And we want to see disciples made and we want to see the overarching goal of world evangelization take place in our church as well. And so these are the four essential spheres and tasks of what it takes to perform making disciples of the nations. Total mobilization is a fully mission mobilized church is one that continuously, intentionally harnesses its spiritual capital, which is prayer and moral support and informed concern, its human capital and financial capital and relational capital and technological capital for the making of disciples of all the nations. Once this is done, it yields intentional and organized outreach to the three other needy quadrants, the unengaged, the unreached, and the undiscipled. And so what you see is this. If mobilization is in place, then there's resources that are being used to reach the unengaged and also the unreached and the undisciples. And it just kind of just comes around to a full part of seeing that it's a full circle thing. That if you're mobilized for missions totally, then you're having your resources, your attention, and your enthusiasm going to the other spheres of need as well. So there they are, the four quadrants of needs, the task bars that we're to be engaged in, and we went a little deep into all those. And you might at this point be thinking, so what does that mean to us here at Rothbury, Rothbury Community Church? And so I'd like to maybe help us look at that. And before we do, I just want to say that, you know, the very two left quadrants there, a lot of reaching activities need to take place, whereas on this side, it's the teaching activities that of the church that needs to be used in order to help those two quadrants there. So the question to us is this, which quadrant of the matrix is the most important? As you take a look at that, which one would you say is the most important? And the reason that I say the trick question is this, is that actually none is any more important than the other. But you might have a specific burden for one of the quadrants more than the other. Or a special mobilizing of your resources for one of the areas more than the other because you really believe that that's where you as a church should happen to be. And do you remember I asked these questions, where are all these different activities that our missionaries are participating in? As you look down the list there, probably most of your missionaries can fall within these activities of those that are listed here. And quite frankly, the answer to that is that they're all embedded within those tasks that we looked at earlier. It's just that we did not single them out as being part of what you use to do it. But quite frankly, all of them are in there. It's just a matter of maybe aligning what you realize your missionaries are doing or what you're doing with the sphere of a need or even the task that's being done there. And we find that they're all there. And so I'd like us to apply this to our own church that you have here. I went on your website the other day and tried to place all your missionaries around the world, that's where the X's are, where your missionaries happen to be. And as you look at that, you can see that, you know, there's a pretty broad span of where missionaries from this church happen to be. It's pretty much global. And what it is, and also, let me say this. I know that your church has a disclaimer saying that not all of our missionaries are listed because there are some that are in dangerous areas. It's the statement that is there. And so the 16 that you do list are actually geographically in these different areas that are here. But what if we were to now take that and say, how do we plot our missionaries on this matrix? Where are they when it comes to their activities? Are they engaged in the unengaged, the unreached, the undisciplined, the undiscipled, or the unmobilized? And so in my fully uninformed way of knowing what all your missionaries are doing, I tried to plot them for you. And so And so here is where it seems most of your missionaries are working. Okay, I think that's 16. And so as you take a look at the matrix and you see where your people are, and I'm saying that I don't know if it's completely correct, and I know that you have more missionaries than what you list on your website. But of the 16 that are there, I think it's 8 that are up in the undiscipled area, 8 that are there. And then you can see that there's 2 in unengaged, and there's 4 unreached, and 2 in the unmobilized. That's where you as a church have your missionaries engaged in making disciples of the nations. And so I have done this plotting with some other churches, and let me say this, that most of them have about 85 to 90% of their missionaries up in the undiscipled area. That's always an overbalance. So with you having 50% there, yeah, you might say, well, maybe that's an overbalance there, but it's not overly overbalanced compared to many other churches that usually only have 2 or 3 people, exes in the unengaged and the unreached areas. So many churches, the resources are not going to the unengaged and unreached areas, which obviously is an imbalance that probably needs to be reconsidered by many churches. So what are we to do with this? The question is, okay, so if that's the case, what do we do with this? And I'd say this, in making application by any church, here's what they should do. First of all, they should take the time, maybe your missions committee could sit down with these definitions and plot on the graph where your missionaries they consider happen to be. And then once they plot them all out, to pray over it and pray that, Lord, is this where you would have us to be? Or should we start sending missionaries to some of the other areas of the quadrant so that we fulfill the Great Commission and making disciples of the nations? Here is a statement that comes from your website that I think is very, very helpful. Though it is not exclusive, we prioritize ministries involved in international church planting and revitalization in unreached and underreached people groups. This is based on our conviction that the local church is God's intended primary means for reaching the world with the gospel. And though it's not absolute, we prioritize geographical diversity in the overall makeup of those supported. This is so that we, as a church, have a worldwide impact, have a burden for many people groups, and are more aware of God's work around the world. So, your statement says a couple of things. First of all, you prioritize unreached peoples, which is good. And so the question is does this do that very thing? And I would say this, that I have made an attempt in my ignorance to plot your missionaries. I think that your mission team here needs to do it themselves and decide, you know, where these X's should really, really be and add the ones that are not listed from the website. Most likely, those that are not on the website fall within the unengaged and unreached areas because they're in highly sensitive areas where there's people, where people happen to be. So I would say that in aligning this with your statement that you have for your missions, that you're doing that, and also that you're doing the geography thing. You say that we spread our people around the globe as well so that we have a worldwide view of what the mission of the church happens to be. And so that obviously from the map that I showed earlier is exactly what you have done. And so I would encourage you to take this information and to redo it yourselves and just kind of really look at more intently where you happen to be when it comes to making disciples of the nations. And then once you do that, go ahead and promote it. You should promote it. You should let the congregation know, this is where we really are. This is what we're doing. Put it on your website again. Maybe keep your statement the way it is and just make it clear to the people of the church where you happen to be as a church in this regard. And so there it is, the matrix, the making disciples matrix. Let me just end by a quote or two here. This is from a statement that was made about 9 years ago in Cape Town, which was a big convention that took place in the World of Missions. But this statement is very, very interesting. I think very, very helpful. Biblical mission demands that those who claim Christ's name should be like him by taking up their cross, denying themselves, following him in the path of humility, love, integrity, and generosity and servanthood. And then this is emphasized, can't quite see it on the slide, to fail in discipleship and disciple making, which we just looked at, to fail in these areas is to fail at the most basic level of our mission. The call of the of Christ to his church comes to us afresh from the pages of the gospel. Come and follow me and go and make disciples. And so go and make disciples is the theme of your church. And I think that this is one way to look at it more intently and just evaluate where you're going. And hopefully it will be helpful as you continue forward. I just thank you so much that your church is, oops, I didn't want to go there. I want to go back to this matrix and just say this, that it's so good to see that your church is so mobilized and that you're doing this very thing. And now I think it's just a matter of you maybe tweaking a little bit and deciding, you know, just how resources are allocated in this way. But know for sure that you're doing well when it comes to making disciples of the nations and to continue doing that very thing. So what I want to do now is just before we close down and see if there's any questions, if there's anything that you have that you'd like to ask about the task of making disciples of the nations.